The song is called Driving By As I Watch You Bleed.
I think about you all the time. You were always on my mind. And during the night I cannot sleep, and I fight the urge to leave. I try to forget your face, your memory I try to erase. Please forgive me for the things I've done. Instead of helping out, I chose to run. I followed the crowd with their evil deed, and driving by you bleed. You stood there scared and in shock of my reaction I cannot block. Your family watched with fear and pain, looking at us like we were insane. Helplessness in your eyes, and Lord, I heard his children cry. Please forgive me for the things I've done. Instead of helping out, I chose to run. I followed the crowd with their deed, driving by as I watched you bleed. I could have stopped, I could have done a lot, and now your memory I cannot block. And then at night I lie awake, I'm paying now for my mistake. I'm on my knees and begging, please, 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 please forgive me for the things I've done. Instead of helping out, I chose to run. I followed the crowd with their evil deed, driving by as I watched you bleed. Driving by as I watched you bleed.
Wow. Well, Angel, I think this is probably the first time I've heard the song and I didn't weep. I've heard the song a few times and almost it always brings tears to my eyes. It's a powerful piece. And I just want to thank you for sharing it. So I just want to spend a little time talking with you about the song and where it came from and how it's helped you to put your experience to music. So what happened that started all this?
Well, we were doing a convoy in Iraq, and on our way back, a vehicle got too close, and our ROE is warning shot, and then yell stop before that. And, well, it got so close and so fast that one of our vehicles fired upon that vehicle. And the vehicle stopped right away as we passed by. A father stepped out of that vehicle, and he was gut shot. He was just bleeding everywhere. And I couldn't do anything because my heart was so cold that I didn't feel any remorse. We just passed him by, and I did the worst thing that I could have ever done besides not helping him out, which I basically just flipped him off and drove right by without helping him out. And I saw his family there, scared as all get out, and he had his children there and his wife there, saw everything. It's haunted me for the last 5-6 years now.
That's hard to imagine for me what it must have been like in that moment. I just really appreciate the courage you have to come forward and tell that story right now. When you say your heart was so cold, could you say more about that? What brought that on? We've talked. I know your life story. You've been involved in the church and grown up, and your heart wasn't always that way.
I was raised right with my parents. You know, my experience in Iraq, the things that have been happening to me, always constantly getting ambushed, always constantly getting blown up. My heart just turned cold against the Iraqi people, and it made me hate them. It just one day just happened, and I couldn't turn it off at all.
Sometimes when I do classes on ethics with soldiers, we talk about crossing, we call the river of fear, when you know what the right thing to do is, but you don't do it. And just going back to that moment, it seems like you knew what the right thing to do was, but you didn't cross that river of fear. And I'm just wondering what was holding you back in that moment.
I don't know. I really can't honestly answer that. All I know is that how my heart was. I couldn't seem to get back into reality of who I truly was. There wasn't no fight or anything like that within my soul. It was just how I was dealing with things to suppress things, I think.
We've talked before, and you expressed this as a betrayal of your true self. I was just wondering what you meant by that.
When I say betrayal to my true self is that my father has always taught me the parable of the man who, in the Bible, was asking for people's help, and everyone would just walk by him like he was nothing. And finally a man came and helped him out. And my dad has always taught me to be that man, to help anybody out that's in need of help, whether it be financial or physical or mental. And I betrayed myself because that's how I was raised and taught, and that's how I always act, was to help people out. And I betrayed myself by doing the exact opposite, which is flip them off and drive by without doing anything.
Oh, you're talking about the parable of the Good Samaritan.
Yes, yes I am.
How would you describe your heart and soul wound from this incident before you got any help?
I was constantly blaming myself. I was constantly angry with myself. I didn't think anyone could help me. I didn't think anyone cared. I walked through life with a chip on my shoulder and a broken heart, and I felt like there was no light at the end of the tunnel, that I was just going to have to deal with this my own way, which I found a lot in a bottle every night to try to forget what exactly I did for a couple hours.
So you resorted to some self-medication?
Yes.
The standard way to respond to such wounding is with medications, but you told me earlier that you'd been offered medications and you refused. What was your thinking behind that, and what were the consequences of that?
Well, I always thought that doctors want to fix you really quick, fast, in a hurry, so they can go to another personnel. You know, I believe that medication, I've been offered medication to suppress this, and exactly what it would do is suppress things. And I believe that once, you know, I get through that barrier, that medication, the outcome would be so much more intense. It's like trying to put a Band-Aid on a wound when you don't clean it properly. That's what the medication is, just putting a Band-Aid on the wound. Now, if you don't see exactly what's wrong with that wound and don't wash it out and clean it out before you put that Band-Aid on the wound, it could get infected, it could get even worse, get gangrene, and you'd have to cut off that limb. I didn't want that. I wanted somebody to fix it without medication.
And you tried the self-medication thing. How else did your wound, can we call this like a soul wound?
Yes.
Is that what we're talking about here? A moral injury? Moral injury has been defined as a betrayal of what's right.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we're talking about, is a soul wound or a moral injury. How else did it manifest itself in the past 4 years besides drinking?
My ex-wife got the worst of it. I was angry all the time, yelling at her. During the night, like it says in my song, I couldn't sleep. And when I did sleep, I would be very violent in my dreams, and I wouldn't even recall them the next day. I would be yelling, screaming, and she said it seemed like I was talking in Arabic. I actually have woken up with me punching her in the chest.
Wow.
Yeah.
We met a few months ago. What do you believe is the difference between the way I, as a chaplain, responded and some of the other responses you've gotten?
You know, I've tried to get help with this before, anger management, and I've gone to a couple of PTSD counselors, and they have always done one thing, is try to fix me right away. They never really took the chance to actually hear me out. They never let me talk. They never let me go in my own speed and when I want to be cured. But you, when I talked to you, it seemed like all you wanted to do was listen. Just listen to how I truly felt and how it truly affected my life. It brought me some sense of trust to tell you everything else. That's where we got this song right here, and it's truly helped me out.
And it's a real honor for me to hold that trust. I consider that a sacred trust. So let's talk about the song. How and why did turning this experience into a song help you?
It's helped me look into myself and stop lying to myself that it's okay, everything's all right. And when I put these words on a piece of paper of how I truly felt, it made me realize that it's not the person that I want to forget. It's not the actual event I want to forget. I want to remember this always. It's kind of a lesson learned. Every time I do something wrong, every time I pass by a person that needs my help, I will always think about this situation. I will always think about this song, and I will honor this person that I didn't help by helping that next person that needs my help.
Let's talk about your relationship with this deceased Iraqi man. You've used the word haunt as the relationship you had prior to the song. You've talked about nightmares. How has that relationship changed since you wrote the song?
I no longer am afraid to think about him, because before, whenever something would make me flash back to that incident, it would make me angry at myself. I would be so pissed off at what I did that I couldn't stand it. I didn't want anybody to be around, and I just lashed out at everybody. But now, this song I dedicate to him and honor him, it's changed. Every time I think of him, all I do is look at it as thank you. Thank you for being there in my life. Thank you so much for being there to remind me of how I'm supposed to be.
You've talked before about him being almost like a conscience.
Yes.
For you.
Yeah.
Could you say more about that?
Yeah, he's more of a conscience to me because he's a reminder. He's a reminder of who I am, who I was before, that I don't ever want to be like that again. Whenever my heart wants to churn cold, he's right there. He reminds me, hey, don't, because this kind of person you turn out to be.
What do you think would have been the consequences had we not met and had you not been able to express yourself through this song? Where were you headed?
I was headed down a very dark path. I hated myself, and for someone to hate themselves is truly not very good. It's a huge burden. And I was drinking constantly. I would be showing up to work drunk. I would, right away when I got home, I would open up a fifth of a bottle and I would drink it. So then I didn't have to deal with anybody. I could say, I'm drunk. I can't go. I can't do anything with you guys. And I would hide in my room and I would pass out. And for those couple of hours, I wouldn't think of him. I would forget about what I did. But the next morning when I woke up with a hangover, right away he'd pop my head. And it just seemed so, it just made me even angrier that I couldn't forget about him, period. I couldn't get rid of him. And I think I would have lost my family. I would have lost my loved ones. I would have pushed them all away.
That coldness.
Yes, I would have been alone for the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm. This is your chance to give your message to our military leadership, the military care providers, many whom you've met over the years, and also our country. What is the message that you'd like to share from your experience here? What can we all learn from this?
Just because a soldier comes home alive and unscratched from the surface, it doesn't mean that they're not cut on the inside. They could have done something that they were not proud of and afraid to speak. And when a soldier comes up to leadership and wants to speak, I say to the leadership that let him speak and listen and truly listen and truly try to understand what he's going through instead of trying to pass him on to somebody else. Actually take the time, get to know the soldier and his hardship. Stay with them throughout his battle through life in that situation, and see if both of you guys can work something out to where that person is healed. But don't heal him right away. Just listen to him.
So there's a relationship between healing and hearing.
Yes.
What is that relationship?
Most of the time, a soldier just wants to talk about the situation and just wants somebody to talk to and not give their advice right away, to get it off their chest, so to speak. And once he is done with that, then he chooses the speed of when he wants to be fixed and how he wants to be fixed. I believe the leadership should listen to that.
The last thing is, how and why do you believe that your trauma has been healed?
I gotta say, it's not fully healed, because we can never be fully healed from situations like this, but I'm pretty close to the finish line. I now can wake up with a smile on my face rather than I don't ever want to talk to anybody. You know, I used to wake up and be grumpy and don't ever want to be associated with anyone. I just wanted to be alone, do my job, and that was it. I don't want to have fun. I don't want to do anything. I don't deserve it. That's how I always felt. But now I see it as, yeah, I can have fun again. And I finally taken that burden off my back and kind of set it aside and look at it and analyze it for myself and put it together and realize what it can transform into is something that can help me out.
And you'd said earlier that you had hated yourself. Do you still feel that way?
I hated myself back then, of how I was back then. So therefore, now I use it as, I don't ever want to be that guy again. I want to be the guy who I am now. It's the guy that's willing to help out anyone that needs help.
You sleeping well?
I am sleeping well, besides the fact that my schedule is kind of messed up a little bit, you know, trying to go back and forth and my fiance at home and me over here with the time differences and wanting to talk of a certain amount of hours. Other than that, when it's time for me to sleep, I sleep just fine now.
And you're in a new relationship, you're engaged.
Yes.
And how's that going?
It's going really well, really well. The power of communication. Uh-huh. Just like how a soldier wants to communicate to his leadership about this kind of things. It's just amazing, and I use it a lot now with my loved one. They understand what I'm going through. My fiance is 100% beside me, not behind me, not in front of me, but beside me, and wants me to strive and wants me to reach my dreams and goals.
Can you just say, who have you performed this song for and what kind of response have you gotten?
I've only shared the lyrics with a couple of my friends, and they told me it was very powerful and that they can't wait for me to actually perform it. I've shared it with your congregation, and I got really good feedback with it. My own worst critic, I could do a little more, but I think it's fine the way it is now. The kind of response I've gotten has showed me that it's pretty well put together.
And what about your fiance? Did you play it for her?
I played with it with her, and she said, I tried to make it beautiful, and she said that was a no-go, basically. I just said, pour out your heart to me. And that's what I did, and she loved it.
Well, I wonder if you would pour out your heart one more time for us and play the song.
I can do it one more time.
I think about you all the time. You were constantly on my mind. During the night, I cannot sleep. Fight the urge to weep. I try to forget your face, and your memory I try to erase. Please forgive me for the things I've done. Instead of helping out, I chose to run. I followed the crowd with their evil deed, driving by as I watched you bleed. You stood there scared and in shock of my reaction. I can't not blind. Your family watch with fear and pain, looking at us like we were insane. Well, I saw the helplessness in your eyes, and I heard your children cry. Please forgive me for the things I've done. Instead of helping out, I chose to run. I followed the crowd with their evil deed, driving by as I watched you bleed. I could have stopped, I could have done a lot. And now your memory I cannot block. And at night I lie awake, I'm praying now for my mistake. I'm on my knees and begging, please, 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 please forgive me for the things I've done. Instead of helping out, I chose to run. I followed the crowd with their evil deed, driving by as I watched you bleed. Driving by as I watched you bleed.